Don't ever turn on that microphone unless you know where you're headed. You don't ever turn that puppy on unless you know full well what the end is going to be. Now, it's all right to ad-lib stories. You make it up as you go along, but you damn well better have a punchline. Because if you don't, you look like a fool, like an idiot. And many years ago, I learned that lesson the hard way. Fortunately, Billy had a tape running, and this is my humiliation.
Well, you know, I don't sleep long. I sleep in shifts. I sleep in the daytime, and then I sleep in the nighttime. And sleeping in the daytime is a drag sometimes because people are noisy in the daytime. You know, I try to sleep about 2 o'clock in the afternoon till about 6 and rest up. People are always outside, you know, cutting grass, running lawnmowers. Jeez, it was worse in Florida. Down there, everybody was big with those model airplanes, you know, those kind with the remote control. And there I am trying to sleep, and all afternoon I'm hearing, these people are doing loop-de-loops with their aeroplanes, and it started to bug me. I mean, it really started to bug me. It started to make me mad. I talked to them about it one time, but they said, hey, what are we supposed to do? Do it, at your convenience or at our convenience? We're not disturbing the peace. It's too. I said, all right. And I got my four-wheel drive, and I left. And I called a buddy of mine, and I got my own plane made up. 22 caliber gun mounted on it. I painted it black. And I put foreboding-looking red crosses on the wings. And I know it was illegal, but I had a super powerful radio transmitter to control this plane. And I waited until those maggots got out in the field. These guys love their planes. They live for their planes. You ever seen one of those clubs? Those people have those remote control planes? They spend thousands of dollars on those planes. They're expensive. And they're always real careful with them. They land them like real planes. Oh, they're just so wonderful. So I took my plane out, and I got in the woods with it. And I took out my binoculars, and I watched. I watched until all their planes were airborne. And then I launched my plane, my special plane. Sure enough, I flew it to where their planes were. I got my plane in position right behind one of theirs, and I opened fire. Hit. The plane spiraled. A little plume of black smoke came out of the gas tank, and then they were flabbergasted. They started looking all around. They wondered, where's this plane coming from, and who's controlling it? But they couldn't see me because I was in the woods with my extra powerful radio transmitter. These maggots. $2,000 worth of aeroplane lying in the ground. The guy ran over to his plane. He was whimpering. Oh, God! Who did this? Who did this? The other guys were trying frantically to land their planes and get out of there, but it was too late because my plane was too big, too fast, and too deadly. After a while, I really got to enjoy it. I got to enjoy the destruction. I was sitting there in the woods with spittle coming out of my lips as I tracked down those planes. The last plane was landing. I couldn't turn around fast enough. The guy picked it up, threw it in the trunk of his car, and he took off. But by this time, I wasn't stopping at just the planes. I wanted a piece of their butt. And as he drove away, I moved in with my black ace. Turn and it wouldn't come back. It just kept flying around. I hit the button for the plane. It still kept going, and then slowly it turned of its own volition. I hit the button for it to decrease altitude, and it increased altitude. And then it started coming straight for me. I hit the stop. I hit the auto destruct. Nothing. The controls were dead in my hand. It was then that I realized that I could no longer control the plane. It swooped in low and made a diving run at me! Fortunately, I dove into some bushes and I didn't get hit. It was then that I realized the plane had a mind of its own! It was a plane of death! Completely out of control! I looked around. The air seemed cold. I could see my breath. I started to run, but the plane wouldn't turn me loose. Oh, no! The plane was right behind me. No! No! Damien! Damien! I found where I parked my van, and I climbed inside that thing. I took off, watching the rearview mirror frantically. I didn't see the plane. Maybe I'd lost it. Maybe somehow I'd lost the plane. Maybe somehow I'd gotten away from it. But then I saw it. It appeared behind me. I could see in the hot heat from the highway, the plane coming closer and closer. I tried to duck down as the plane made a low pass over my van. It shot out the back window. I strove for control. I had to get near some people. I had to get in public. I had to get away. When all of a sudden, I lost control of my car completely. Unfortunately, I couldn't find the sound effect, so I couldn't make the noise of the car crash. He was a disc jockey, Borhog, in a long story with no way out. But somehow, he had to get out, because he's on the air, and he knows full well that somehow he's got to get back into music after telling a long story about blowing planes out of the sky. But how? What does he do? Does he have one final explosion where the plane self-destructs? Does he have Damien suddenly realize that he doesn't want to blow this man away because then it won't be any more Damien stories? Or does he simply hit some commercials and say the heck with it? What does he do? What does a boss jock do when he's trapped in a story with no way out? When he's trapped with a live microphone and a cart rack full of sound effects? Damien! Get me out of this story, Damien! Damien! I know what he does. Looks around frantically. He knows he's got sounds of everything in the book. He's a boss jock. He's quick on his feet. He decides, rather than get stuck, he'll take a trip south of the border. And maybe he can hide out in Mexico, where people will forget about the story. The story he started and couldn't finish. The story without a punchline. But no, that'll never do. Because people won't have it. People won't have it. They demand an end. They demand a punchline. And that was our man's dilemma. How to get out. When he's already started slinging lead, he's gotten into Damien, and now he's south of the border. I don't know. Maybe he calls on help from a buddy of his. Maybe he calls on the man who's chain smokes Chesterfields and wears cheap suits. Maybe he calls on the man.
Oh, no, never mind. I'm sorry. I just say, look, all right. Hey, come on. I'm a human being, you know?